Hi, welcome to the Natural Alternative Podcast. I'm Madonna Guy, and I'm here today with Deborah Husbands. Deborah's unique childhood has coloured the way she sees the world, having lived in and experienced many different countries and cultures. She is commonly referred to as the keeper of colour wisdom, being deeply connected to the Aurasoma system. Welcome, Deborah.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
You are welcome.
It's nice to be with you.
So tell us how you got involved in this system of healthcare.
Well, Aurasoma's a non-intrusive, self-selecting soul therapy. And I can honestly say when I was in Melbourne, I went into a little shop and I picked up one of the bottles and moved it because I saw them. The curiosity attracted me. And when it moved, I mean, I'm a child of the 70s, so I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got my own wave machine. But at the same time that moved, my whole inner world moved. So backing up a few years, I was at a place in boarding school, and I've had a number of experiences where I can't – have you ever heard of being sent to Coventry?
No, that term does not ring a bell.
It's an English term where you sort of – no one speaks to you. So there was a three-year period that I was at boarding school where – I didn't have any interaction. No human really spoke to me for one reason or another. I mean, I'd grown up with, you know, a monkey in Africa and in a very New Guinean vibe on Bougainville. And so the cultures there were very different, very honest and open. And then when I came to the Western world, I couldn't integrate well how people said one thing and meant another thing. You know, there was lots of two-faced, two-sided, or backstabbing. So I had a great deal of difficulty communicating. And fast-forwarding years later, after I'd picked up my own little wave machine, I discovered that within each one of the rays of the colours was a whole world of experiences, a whole world of language and the ability to articulate. And I felt like I'd come home. I suddenly understood why I'd spent most of my life underwater with my eyes squeezing, looking at the lights of the rainbows and looking at the inner world of colours. So when I saw that outer reflection, I was like, yeah, that's it. It resonated with me, and it's like it's a language that everybody knows that transcends all boundaries, that knows no racism, that, you know, the light and the sun shines on everyone equally, and this system unites people together. So even if you're having a disagreement, which is fantastic, you can disagree about what a colour means to you, but you don't disagree about a colour being a colour, you know. So
yes,
that's basically how I got into it, was that life-altering moment of my belly doing a backflip when I saw the magical movement in there.
Isn't it wonderful to see magic in your daily life?
Yes. And I'm very lucky I get to see quite a bit of magic in mine, because there is 122 different bottles.
Okay. Currently, so explain playing. What it is that you do.
Okay, so in the Aurasoma system, there are 122 different multicolored bottles. You know, there's a top fraction and a bottom fraction. The theory is the system was created by a blind woman called Vicky Wall back in the 80s, I think early 80s. And her story is quite unique. And she basically threw all of these things together. She had 49 different essential oils. She had some watery parts of the plant. She had some, you know, other crystal tinctures and things. In the morning when she woke up, because she said it's like unseen hands guided her in this creation. And she just had a set of five bottles when she woke up in the morning and had no idea what that system was about or what it was for. She thought it was a massage oil, or an oil that nourished the skin, and an oil that nourished the soul. She kind of knew that much, and she could see auras at the time. So as the system developed, she could see people, she could see their auras. Now, I don't, but we can sense them, and we know a lot of information by the colours that you're drawn to, and what you choose is specifically about your code. But in the early days, Vicky could see that the people that had a certain colour in their energy field or aura were attracted to the same colours in the bottles. And so it began to unfold that there was a feedback system from your quantum field through the eyes that allowed the body to be nourished with exactly the right energy and colour and frequency that it needed right then and there in order for it to become whole and in order for you to take the next step on your conscious evolution. So basically people would come in and choose out of that series of bottles, four of them, and that's the color code that we are speaking to your soul directly with. And it could be different each time. It could have similar themes, but that's the way your soul, your inner consciousness, or I like to say your inner tuition, that yes. innate wisdom that lands in each one of us, it's how we can begin an inner dialogue of communication where meaning can be made upon whatever color that you are drawn to. Basically, then out of that series, people would take a bottle home to work with on their physical body that then has an effect on their electromagnetic field, which is being bombarded right now, or the energetic field of the astral realm, etc. So there's many different fields, and by us supporting, I like my new saying is that we're light bodybuilders.
Nice. So
I'm never able to be claiming I'm a gym junkie, but I'm a light bodybuilder junkie.
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
More people get to build this quantum level of light that sits within the physical being that runs through the Chinese meridian systems. It runs through the yogic chakra systems. It can run through, you know, any of the ancient philosophies of maiden, mother, crone. So there's a unique way of communicating with every single system that exists on the planet. So what we do is we need to just create that beginning communication and the context within which we're talking to ourselves or talking to others about. And so there's a number of ways of applying different things into your energy field so that you become more infused with that light or more filled with the electrons that give us the mental gymnastics to bend our brain into new spaces so that if we're caught in an issue or if there's something in our tissues, we call that, if it's not flowing, we call it a disease. So rather than have a disease manifest, we can notice that really early on by the colors that you don't like or the colors that you do like. And obviously in my world, by being able to connect with at least one or two good things about every single color, then you've got freedom of the soul and the system supports that eternal happiness or that
search. So the different colors have got different meanings, or is that unique to each individual?
Every single color has its own frequency and resonance, like yes. the electromagnetic field of music is the audible part of that spectrum. Well, the rainbow is the visual part of that spectrum, but that spectrum's quite broad and it's certainly a lot more than we can perceive with our eyes, ears, or senses. But yes, each color ray has a meaning that could be split into mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological, energetic. And if there's a color, for instance, that people always avoid, and for me, that was orange for many, many years. And I had quite a few traumas. So it made sense that I avoided the orange. Like at least 12 years I was working with orange before I finally broke into understanding it's also the juiciness of life and it's the integration of parts of your being that stopped in your timeline due to trauma.
Right.
So when you notice that, you kind of go, I can't stand orange, then there's a clue there that there's something that's traumatic that's looking to be healed. And until we find one good thing about that color, we're just going to keep avoiding it because our body response goes straight back to that time of trauma. So the code is what's individual to each unique being is their attraction to a color in any given moment, at any given time, and the messages that that has for that particular being.
And you teach this process?
Yes, I'm an Aurasoma level 3 teacher, so I tend to teach teachers. But in that last few years of going through this change with COVID, because it's a very live system, it's been very difficult for people to get out and sit in front of the bottles and have that energetic experience. Yeah. So And the system had all changed, that it was growing exponentially. And I believe they wanted to bring it back to its real simple roots, which is nourishing the body, supporting the soul to find movement within the light body and the energetic system, and building that so that we can lean on that through these coming times that we will be facing. You know, we will be facing a crisis or a wave of trauma, I believe, certainly in the mental health issue. And this is a particularly good space that, as you focus on a different color, you can then start to find strength in something rather than feeling there are zero possibilities. You can just start to lean in. For instance, if I'm red, okay, people have associated red with anger and focus and awakening. But if I'm red, I'm usually really energetic, and that's the only time the house gets really cleaned well. So I may as well put it to good use rather than sit there and struggle with, I shouldn't be feeling this. I go, well, that's where I'm at right now. And the other really great one for me personally is doing my books. When I'm red, my head is so focused. Numbers, figures, patterns, really quick to see. No point me trying to do that if I'm in a yellow mood or an orange, because there's just no relationship to, you know, getting things done. So yeah, each color's got a different set of meanings, but also a different scent, which is
right.
So you can work with that in a way with your own individual field or with something in your room, so that if you, for instance, have an aggressive boss, or you're in a situation where you're just totally frustrated, well, you can't really go and squirt it on someone else because it's their journey. All we can do is
however tempting.
A little bit of peppermint in the eye would be lovely. But spraying it around yourself and taking that moment to remember what that color means to you and how you can work with that very quickly switches you from victim mentality into a somewhat empowered state of having a choice.
Yes.
And, you know, if you don't feel like you have a choice, that's when things can spiral down really quickly. So just giving you a degree of difference, whether that be through the senses that for the nose, the ears with music, putting on a nice, you know, soothing music, or whether it be physically moving the body and shifting the energy from where it is in your body. So all of those things kind of work together, and color just unlocks a broader area. It's like a book. You pick a color, that's like a whole book that you could enter, and there are several chapters, at least seven chapters within each one of those books, that you can then deepen your journey into finding where is that sneaky little issue that's been hiding. Because it's, you know, as therapists or as, you know, awakened or conscious being, we can be very clever with ourselves. You know, we can be here to help everyone else, but we're very tricky when it comes to avoiding knowing what's deeply in our own subconscious. If we knew, it wouldn't be sub.
Yes. So our brains are very clever. They're trying to protect us all the time.
Exactly. And by just noticing what you're noticing, you can sidestep this trap where the brain wants to keep you contained within the brain, and it allows you to enter into a different space in your field where you can actually view what you're thinking or view what you're feeling or view what's going on in the body without actually being involved in that taking over. So that's kind of the space it works in.
So what sort of shifts have you had with clients? Like, do you have some couple of little tangible stories that people can?
Yeah, I've had a couple of ladies that have come for Bema light pen treatment. So this is where we take it away from someone perhaps working on themselves, and we might do some acupuncture treatments on their physical being with light. And as you know, light is the medicine of the future. So we can directly pour photons and electrons into the body to help some insights surface. So a lot of the work has been, people have been looking at an issue for a long time, but just haven't got that extra bit of understanding or insight. Mostly it's been about shifting perspective. It's a system that, so if we can shift our brain by one degree, we know that 360 degrees is possible. And so that what we're viewing as maybe a challenge could actually be a gift for us. So in the physical, and we don't make claims to sort of heal the physical, it's more like the conglomeration of energy as a trigger point within the soul or within the emotional field. And when it's touched and seen, it starts to be an energy you can work with. So people that have been existing with trauma and managing trauma rather than dealing with trauma, there's a big difference there of sort of being able to switch us into, well, let's now make an empowered thought on what we want to make that energy mean. But I've also had people that were not regular in their cycles become regular. I've had a few ladies that have chosen bottles that indicated endometriosis could have been in the mix. And when they've worked with the bottles, somehow a few years later they've become pregnant, or within that year they've become pregnant. So it's shifting us from the physical healing to the world of energetics. So if people are working with the meridian system and they know their wood is burnt out or their liver is just a little bit overwhelmed and needs some support, we can actually work with the colors that nourish the liver and actually help people release in that way. And I think a lot of the work, particularly if one journeys through the sequence of courses, you know, a lot of people drawn to that work go on to teach people in their own ways, their own systems. But the learning of the language that means you could learn anything instantly and teach anything in a very holistic way is really invaluable on that level. And I think helping mums with kids that suffer, or helping kids be able to identify via just choosing a colour what that means to them, like, it's so valuable now that if we can bring that into their world earlier than later, you know, yes. Trying to learn how to use things to interrupt trauma. So we've worked a lot with people with Asperger's or ADHD, in allowing those kids to be understood in a way that normal language couldn't articulate, but when connecting through what a colour means, it's not directly pointing anybody's finger, but it's actually letting them feel heard in a non-intrusive way by their relationship.
Yes. And sometimes when I treat kids who are, you know, with ADHD, Asperger's, autism, the parents are often so exhausted and overwhelmed themselves, they need lots of treatment. You know, exactly. They need lots of support. But I think having something as that, like you say, that third person sort of in there chatting away to the child, so that, because I'm sure a lot of these kids don't feel heard at home, and simply because of the amount of stress and trauma, you know, mother to child, father to child.
Sure. And guilt and shame and blame and whatever else goes on like this. It's so difficult to carve your way through to a simple colour. But when you do, it narrows down the field of 14 conversations to one area. Yes. So, you know, it buys you more time effectively, because there's a little kit that people can get that's got 14 or 17 colours in it. That's anybody can choose these bottles. When you choose one bottle, that's for you. That's your own very personal journey about what's going on. Pomanders are very much about how we interact with each other's field. So anybody can pick a colour, and then you've got some idea on where you can share the energy by sharing a couple of simple techniques. So they're really elegant tools to help us unlock a language that gives freedom to both. In fact, we've done a few Beamer Light Pen sessions on couples, some very successfully and some also successfully but led to the end of the relationship, because it was very clear when they've chosen the colours that there was not a connection or a harmony. So, and we've done a lot with mothers and children picking a bottle. So mum will pick a bottle that represents the child, and the child picks a bottle that represents mum. And in there, there's been some magical unlocking of, you know, what motivates the mother to make sure the child's brought up in a certain way. Like, one could have been a swimmer and she went swimming all day, every day, and so she didn't want the child doing any physical activity. She wanted the child doing all the creative stuff that she missed out on.
Yes.
But the child actually wanted the physical activity. So just even an understanding or unblocking that, it gave them both permission to have both things integrated without the underwhelming or overwhelming underlying impulse that says, no, I was never allowed to paint, therefore my child will be a painter type of thing. It's really great for relationships, I think.
Well, even Einstein said that the medicine of the future will be energy medicine. So it's all about energy.
And he also said all matter is light vibrating at different frequencies. So when we do get to empower people with something like a pen that actually shines photon and light, like the best thing that happens is you choose exactly the right color that your soul needs to either unravel a mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual nugget that gives you some empowerment. The worst thing that happens is you're shining a torch on yourself. It's not going to harm anyone.
Yes.
But if your awareness also joins in because it's working and operating in the field of your consciousness, so it will meet you wherever you are on that journey of consciousness and allow support to filter into the physical being.
I love the fact that it's working on the soul. It feels like everything going on worldwide at the moment is anti-self, anti-soul, anti our own human vibration, God-given humanity.
It is, like I was thinking of that on my walk this morning. We were beings that were made to, with all of the senses that we have, we were made to interact with the Garden of Eden. We were made to smell the night-scented jasmine and become romantic, or smell a ripe mango and know that that was going to be nourishing for the soul, and also smell an unripe lemon and realize it's not quite ready, or hear bird calls and whale songs and be soothed and nurtured. And here we are right now being absolutely bombarded, sucked out of our brains into screens and screen time, and taken away from natural foods, having preservatives and additives and all of these
genetic modification
and so society is leading us away out of chemical convenience, the chemical convenience that lets us all be quicker and not as grounded. I mean, something simple as grounding yourself is what we're meant to do, is offload those electrons that have built up in the day, come back into the earth and be usable in.
So what little techniques do you have that you recommend for grounding?
Well, I like barefoot on the ground, without a doubt. I don't think there's any, I mean, there are many tools that you can get, from magnetics to strips of things and grounding mats, but there is nothing like that dead sexy feeling of a beautiful, luscious lawn and your feet sinking into it in that dew. And it calms my soul almost instantly wherever I'm at. So I think it should be done at least every 90 minutes or every 2 hours. But everything seems to be concreted or paved or marbled or something. So it's you know, our land is getting harder to connect with. Yeah. Another favorite is standing at the base of a waterfall, with that rush of all of the positive ions coming out, you know, or walking in nature and forest bathing. They're beautiful, but there's still, for me, nothing quite like. But I grew up in Africa with a pet chimpanzee upside down for most of it in the trees. So, like, running around barefoot was very normal. And I just do feel a difference in the heartbeat of myself and the earth. So anything we can do to protect the interaction of our senses in this way, you know, to turn off the screen time, to, you know, reduce that. But if not, use something like an elegant tool of some sort that fills the energy field back up as to where it's been pitted, you know. And I see all of the upper chakras here being pitted by electromagnetics, by microwaves, by radio frequencies, by God knows what else, loudspeakers, music in the mall, lights that are not natural, you know, people's bad moods. All of this like corrodes our energy field really quickly, and we let it and it just continues to happen. We need to put as much energy into filling those things up in our being, so that we've got the excess electrons that can combat. We know about oxidization of fruit. Well, the same thing can happen to your light body if we're not nourishing and filling and expressing, speaking, singing. You know, there's a different method, I guess, for each one of the energy fields, because each one of the energy centers would need grounding in a different way.
From a subtle perspective, because you've been doing this quite some time, from a subtle perspective, are you finding with, say, all the 5G being flipped on, with, you know, all the rockets going into space and messing with the ozone layer, with, you know, that HAARP technology around the world, with just all this electrical energy that's being created on the planet that's not natural, are you finding it more challenging, or is there a subtle shift in the things that people are choosing? Like, because I found naturopathically that it's getting harder and harder to get people back to good health. You know, like, it's not as easy as saying, well, just have to eat a balanced diet, because that's not, it's not as easy as that. If they're eating genetic modification, there's pesticides and glyphosate, and, you know, it's destroying their microbiome, and there's the gut brain connection and all the jabs, and, you know, it's just one thing after another, an assault on our senses and our body.
Yes, which is terrifying, really. So in answer to that question, the people that are attracted to the system seem to be those that are super sensitive. So part one of that was, have I noticed a difference? Yes. Like, I can't hold my phone anymore.
Yes.
My fingers buzz on the computer, and everything's drawing us into touching screens and holding on to something electronic. And I am finding you know, you used to get static just on an aeroplane when you were walking down the plane with your socks on. Well, now I'm finding that in the house and in places I never did. Like, I'm getting static on concrete and things. So I do think it's a very real problem. But I, part of the other problem is people are being bombarded by such bullshit. There is such programming coming out, like the narrative. And I know that's like a common term now, but people saying that these things are not what they are, like, there's madness going on out there. So the world of conversation about things, and I won't even go to the controversial he/she things, but, you know, just on those types of things, it's getting harder and harder to unify all of the people. There are pockets of people that are well aware of these things and working with them, but there's also such a propaganda going on about that being a mad thing. Now, don't forget, Vicky Wall created this as an inspired vision, as the daughter of an apothecarist, or, you know, capitalist. Oh, yes. Like, back in the early 80s. So for 45 years, she was aware that there would come a time on the planet when crystalline energy, bioluminescence, the silicon age, all of these things that carry charges and carry information would become more amplified, and that we needed something to support and nourish the energy field. I guess the most difficult thing also is that people want an instant result, because you'd pop a Panadol or a pill, not that I do, but it's one pill, it's very strong and it seems to work instantly in suppressing the symptoms enough for people to function.
Yes.
Well, natural world doesn't work like that. As you're well aware, it takes little and often, and it's more of a longer journey. It takes like a minute to, you know, stuff yourself up somehow, but it might take 10 years for you to unravel what meanings you made out of that. And so the more stuff that's interfering, I think there's our consciousness is the greatest commodity on the planet right now, and people are trying to steal it and put it in what works for them. And I'm here to help empower people to regain, reclaim and reframe their own consciousness, so that they've got choice to see if they want to, you know. So it's like being in the world but not of the world.
Yes.
And I'm seeing a group of what I'd say turquoise beings stepping into that quantum area and starting to really to know this is where they felt most at home, slightly off the planet, slightly connected to telepathy and, you know, body language and more than meets the eye. So they're the ones that are sort of stepping forward with let's look at how to balance the newness of what's coming, the new technologies that could be very helpful, but also be very aware there are new technologies that are very harmful. And yes. What makes the difference is only your consciousness as to whether something adds to your field in a healthy way or steals from your field in not a healthy way.
Yes. And learn, I think, thank goodness, there's been this wonderful dialogue the last couple of years with people who are, you know, finding their tribes and discovering, you know, the underlying challenges on the planet. Like, it does feel like there's just been a massive awareness, you know, an uphill awareness that's been going on. It's been quite phenomenal.
And I wonder about that because, you know, probably 30 years, close to 30 years, I've been walking this journey with colour and light and energy. And I remember being very misunderstood early on, even though it was a field I was very connected to. And I always thought, well, okay, fine, I've been called a pioneer at some point in time because that information was new, and now it's in every magazine, it's in every, you know, post or whatever. But I think what's also happened is those that were pioneering have suddenly understood the difference between managing your trauma and knowledge and dealing with your trauma and knowledge. So I think there's a lot of us digging in right now because we've learned how to heal our trauma or what that, and it's not light and love. It's kind of like facing the dark side often.
Yes.
And really not wanting to be here and not wanting certain habits and, you know, screaming nights of the soul to get to a place where we know we might have that lovely light look, smile on the face, but it comes with a warning that work is required.
Yeah.
In order to make the difference. So we'll see how strong some of those, let's say, influencing personalities that might not have the depth of experience, the difference between those two, we'll see how that pans out or plays out in the coming times, I guess.
Yes. So you do one-on-one and one-on-two sessions, so you obviously deal with...
Somehow that sounded rude, but yeah.
But do you also do distance, like Zoom?
You know, I have just started. I'm in the midst of creating an app that should be ready early July that's just teaching people a little bit of the language of colour so that they can start to notice how that is and interact in their energy field. That's what I'd probably say for distance. We can do Beamer light pen treatments over the internet, but I like, if possible, for people to be present. It's to interact with the living energies of a bottle, to understand that there's nothing unnatural in here. It's all 49 essential oils, herbs, programmed water, and crystal tinctures. So it's connecting the plant, the mineral, and the human being the colour kingdom. Wow. So if you get to interact with a set of Aurasoma bottles, and there are Aurasoma bottles around the world, but I'm here in Brisbane. So if you get to see that, then there's a different depth of experience that you're having within your field. And that's the difference, I think, between distant and present. And I think distance healings work better for me if people have actually interacted with the colour and we're on a bit of a plan, so we've got an idea in their quantum field what's going on, and then it can be very successful in bringing anxiety down and depression, you know, lightening that and just a letting go or helping to find your soul purpose. So those types of, let me say, upper chakra searches and probably physical connection to the lower chakras is kind of better to have a bottle to put on and support your physicality whilst it's releasing certain things. So
yes,
there's one-on-one consultations, there's group sessions that we do that are quite lovely that connect to an energy of each person having a message, which then connects to a community message, and people leave empowered with their own journey, but with a journey of what to hold in the space for community. I combine that with sound healing, so I've got quite a few gongs and crystal bowls, and when people choose colors, I play the colors of the crystal bowls to connect to the message. So wherever possible, we're infusing the body with light, energy, and an abundance of electrons so that they can take those flexible electrons to create new patterns in the brain and new emotions in the body. So I call it like a quantum soak, so that so long as you're able to soak yourself with as many life-giving activities, we could combat and balance. You know, I mean, obviously, wouldn't it be lovely to be living off-grid somewhere in nature, in an orchard, like the Garden of Eden, with beautiful water source? But that's not going to be physically possible for a lot of people. So whilst they're at work, or whilst they're in the car, or whilst they're, you know, in the elevator or something, you can use a pomander that gives you 15 seconds or 5 minutes of presence, however long you want to go into that, that just gives you a gentle reminder to be engaging the part of your brain that I found associated with anxiety or depression, and this inner critic I had nonstop. You suck, and a lot worse. You know, the inner critic was terrible. When I add in this language of color, that inner critic's turned to curiosity. Oh, you suck. Yeah, but what if you didn't? What if you were right? What if you, how could that fit within the colors you're seeing and where that moves to? Because part of the journey is not just knowing where each of the colors are in your energy field and how that resonates, but how does it move? Because being stuck is death. No movement is death. When something's not oscillating, it's done. So how can we keep movement in there, and how can we create, you know, two spaces so that people can move, rather than one space where people feel like they're in a funnel and being stuck in a point where they feel helpless? So kind of interrupting that little funnel with little bits of color on the way gives your brain something positive to think of.
Yeah, and you've had 2.5 years of being told by governments we're helpless and we must be fearful. It's been, you know, so many people have just gone down into that.
I'm so worried for them. I, you know, having very close and personal experience on people not wanting to be on the planet anymore because they just can't, they can't get answers. People aren't servicing people anymore. They're just doing what they're doing to turn up and get a paycheck. You know, the care factor's gone, because people are freaking out inside themselves, just trying to do the right thing, but they're extending. So once we've cleared or entertained our own brain, we can then offer a lighthearted interaction with someone else, still getting what you want, still saying what you want, but taking the heavy out of it, taking the argument out of it, taking the, well, let's just call that yellow rather than get too caught up in it. If you're in yellow, where do you want to go? Do you want to go up to olive or up to green, or do you want to go down to orange, or do you want to flip around and come out to violet? You know, so it's, but we are being trapped in our solar plexus with that fear and anxiety and the not knowingness, and that's just being amplified.
And the lack of personal power,
To balance that, we need to help balance the violet and allow that transformation of reason for being and connection to spirit, and honestly finding that there's more to life than just us, you know, connecting to a higher power, whichever that is. But I think that being trapped in our body, we're not capable of knowing that there's more.
Yeah.
And the aurasoma system works on so many different levels that there's definitely more. You don't have to believe it.
Oh, I totally agree. I used to have a receptionist for 8 or 9 years, and she was incredibly psychically connected, and I would hear her yawning from my practitioner room, and I'd be thinking, I'm going to get a Gabby would, I shouldn't have said a name. Oops. But she would look at the calendar, and she'd go, who's in which room with what practitioner, and then, because yawning was her sign that she was getting some intuit. And then she would occasionally come and knock on the door, and she said, you know, and I would hear her coming up the hallway. So I'd say to my client, okay, we're about to get a little interaction. And she'd come in, and she'd just sort of say, is it okay? I've got a little message for the client, and something would come through that just made sense with exactly what we were just going through. You can't write that stuff, you know. It's sort of,
that magic or that curiosity or the little insights, that's what makes you connect to hope, that, wow, maybe there could be. Maybe there is a different way. Maybe there is something else that I can do. Maybe there is a way out, you know?
Yes. And I think people have been told, you know, that we're victims the last few years. Yeah. You know, we must be frightened. We must be fearful. We must be, yes.
And it's, I think it's bringing up a lot of trust issues, to be honest, because these, okay, so it sits in this royal area, but these people are actually in a position of authority, elected or not, but that's where they are. So when they speak, their words weigh heavily on, you know, people who assume it's honest, truthful and supportive, as opposed to just waffle. But I do also know from our experience in running as politicians, very little experience is necessary. Very few people have actually gone through anything like politics school or whatever it is, or become experts in their field. So we are effectively disempowering ourselves by listening to an authority that who's not actually an authority. Yes. They're just in a position where they're claiming that. So, you know, where that's helpful in something like the army or the SAS or, you know, martial arts, because there is a natural authority. If we're stuck in this fear, we need to reach up to a higher authority and find out, well, we're being told that's truth, but is that truth for me? And this perception, area of perception and clarity at the sense doors is where we get our, you know, pieces of information. But it's being dialed down by people that don't really want us, I guess, to wake up.
Yes.
I have no proof of that, but that's just the way it appears if I look at the patterning of what's going on, that people are not common sense anymore.
Yeah. And because I did hear that children, I was listening to Dr. Naomi Wolf on Dr. Joseph McCullough last week, and she was saying that the average child has gone down 21 IQ points because of the masks.
Yeah.
So not only we're not seeing the mouths, we're not seeing, you know, that those human
expressions.
Yeah, which is so much to do with learning, you know, voice, needing voice therapy has gone up 300%. And, you know, just it's quite shocking. And there's a lot of children out there with, and I'm sure we're going to be seeing lots more of this. I've already started in my clinic kids who are 14, 15, 16-year-olds. They can't leave their houses at the moment.
I can't.
They are just so depressed. They can't actually make themselves get up and get out the door.
Yeah. And at least, you know, in my world, I could bring in a little bit of colour and light and something like, and I would in that instance just say, well, choose one goal that is achievable. I'm going to walk to the bus stop and back just so that you know that you do it, because there is no, as you know, there's no, like, you're never going to get rid of anxiety forever.
No.
Like you're always going, it's part of our natural reason for making sure we're still alive. We do need it in that way, but it's being fiddled with.
Manipulated. You
know,
yeah.
Way. That is, and we're not having the balance of integrated learning, inner wisdom and the inner knowing. We're not having that validated in any way. All that's being told is that you basically do it this way because we're telling you. The natural questioning and the natural ability to feel for yourself and understand.
Yes.
This is why I do think the meek will inherit the earth, you know, because people that don't have multimedia, that are not so, you know, attached to needing a government to provide for them, they're just carrying on in their own little world in a very special way.
Yes, with their own little immune systems fighting off, you know, the big bad viruses.
Oh gosh, and then we look at people bringing in synthetic foods.
Yes, I saw this week that there is now vegan fish that look exactly like fish. They taste like fish, but they've got the texture of like more a nappy texture, yes. A wet nappy texture. And
I actually think I've eaten that fish back when I was eating fish. I remember noticing that. But you know, it's even more confirmation as to why plant-based is so good. And I think, you know, even this is part of manipulation, is making vegan a dirty word. And even in my books now it's a dirty word, but fundamentally it's a beautiful, compassionate system of using only plants to enhance your life and not causing harm and suffering. But now that we're bringing in the fake meats, the moldy grown ones, the, you know, and calling that vegan food.
Yes.
And adding in the additives and the addictive, you know, salt, oil and sugar trap and processing it and overprocessing it.
Yes.
Is tricking people, you know, so they're coming at
hints. And people need to be reading. People need to be readers when they're buying their foods. You know, now that, you know, as we know, Bill Gates owns 78% of the farmland in America. And two of the biggest things they're making vegan foods out of are genetically modified soy and genetically modified canola, both of which have been known to cause cancer for 20 years. So that is going to be the bulk of the vegan healthy foods for people who aren't paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. And I like to bring back a little bit of that Indigenous connection to I mean, I feel very sad that we're so segregated within our own four walls and that we don't have like a sheep that was chosen or a lamb that was chosen to feed the whole family on their once a month get together and making it really special and precious and, you know, honorable. So to bring back a little bit of the honor in whatever it is that you do, I'm not saying don't ever eat meat, but I'm just saying like the bringing the honor back or bringing the consciousness back that we know where it's sourced, who's looking after it, who loves it, and who's
and
just
with
got
the, there's weird little laws being passed all over the place in Australia. I know it's all part of the big picture that's going on, but this week they're trying to pass one in Victoria, or maybe it's just been passed, where if you're out on the land and you have a gun, so therefore, yes, you can shoot foxes or, you know, wild pigs or something, it's a $12,000 fine if you give some of that meat to a family or friend.
That's
so
ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous. And so like, what is that about? And firewood in South Australia and New South Wales, they're making firewood illegal in your own house because firewood smoke is so damaging to our lungs.
It's just bizarre.
It's
and the other
crazy.
The other mad one was if they were to fence cattle away from a dam, you're going to cut methane by 70%. Yes, but they don't drink water then. Like this is becoming a serious shit show.
Yeah, exactly. Serious. And have you seen the little masks they want to put on the cows? They've got like little cow so that they're not breathing out methane, and there's another little one over their little tail. Just awful.
Ridiculous. Although I have heard, I've seen some very good cookers that use human methane. And so basically it's a recyclable toilet or something, but the gas that gets produced is what you cook off.
Really?
Well,
that sounds wonderful.
I'd probably rather have the cow poo, personally. I feel too attached to something. But I still thought some of those innovations are pretty good.
Yes.
Some of the innovations that allow us to capture, store, amplify, reuse, repurpose energy is great. Like, and that's the purpose of grounding, is that we can get rid of the extra electrons. Otherwise, we're frying ourselves constantly. And then when you have you frying coming in together with someone else frying, where do you think the electrons go? There's a big smash and then a big argument and lightning happens. So it's like responsibility for the self, response able, being able to respond to whatever stimuli, and then being able to teach anyone in your field how to do that and being able to stay under the radar so that that's not actually somehow going to be shut down. You having a light pen, because I think, you know, if someone's not making money out of it, that's all the synthetic food's about, is let's make heaps of that, starve everyone from real food, or make that so expensive that no one can afford it, and feed them only the little bits, making everybody like, I don't know if that, to me it's just so wrong and so visible. I can't comprehend those that can't see.
Yes.
That, like, I'd really, probably where I have my issues, like, how do I can't even open the door to some conversations.
Yes.
Because it seems so surreal even to ourselves.
Yes. And on the United Nations website, there's like 300 pages about Agenda 21. So they're not hiding it. It's all out there. And part of that is talking about individual countries being utilized to make one particular thing, so that instead of a country being sovereign and self being able to provide for itself, they're trying to make it so we need this from China, we need this from the States, we need this from Europe, we need this from England. So
cutting all of our manufacturing and cutting all of our ability to produce, like the wool industry is suffering big time. Beef exports and things are suffering, you know. It's like, it just doesn't make sense. It's not sustainable for sure.
Yes.
But I don't think that that is going to be the thing that changes the chemical convenience on the planet, you know.
Yes.
Until we're all turning off our electrical items, and you know, I'm here on a phone with you, I've got a computer here, so like I'm part of the problem as well. But I did see a lovely solar paneled generator recently. What a fantastic idea, this innovation.
Wow.
Looks like a sunflower, but it's a portable generator, so it means if the sun's shining, you can actually charge enough to, like a normal generator would run a fridge and a few things in the house. This is something, if we could start to recharge very simply our energetic tools or our electric tools from a solar panel instead of from the electricity, we'd be able to use that other stuff for things that we really need.
Yes, absolutely.
Wouldn't it be nice if they turned the lights out at night?
Yeah.
Like I just, in the city, I'm looking around buildings that have still got every light on in every room. There's no one there, clearly. But like turning off lights within Woolworths at night, really, like that's to me, I feel a little bit OCD about the waste of energy.
Yeah, especially when they're claiming we have an energy crisis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it makes difference, doesn't it? I think it's the 27th of March or something, world turn your lights off for an hour a day. And it makes a big difference to power bills and things like that.
And that's the thing. I was listening to a guy called Dane Wigington this morning, and he's got a website called geoengineeringwatch.org. But he was talking about how climate change as a subject makes people angry because they're really worried about the real thing, which is the pollution and the loss of our forests and the loss of our ecosystems. So that part of it, the ecosystems and our fish being filled with plastics and plastics being in our environment and all the aluminium in the atmosphere and all of this stuff that's going on that is not great for us as little human beings.
Yeah.
But calling it climate change when that isn't the thing, it's really the pollution. That's the problem. And all the bigwigs trying to shut you and I down, they're the ones creating the pollution.
I know. I mean, and this is why we did both want to make a stand to make a difference, but I was horrified to see how many people are just in survival mode. So they are just doing what they need to do to continue to survive, to get to a job, to pay a rent. You know, they're not thinking of a longer term.
No.
They're not. We do need to think generationally, and we need to think energetically and with Indigenous connection.
You know, absolutely.
We need to work better. We need to work smarter, not for money. Not for, you can't eat money in the end, but in the preservation of this incredible land that we're on, which is a big spaceship fully equipped to support humanity, hurtling through space at God knows how fast. And here we are crapping in the nest. Like, it's almost enough to be overwhelming if I didn't have.
Well, funnily enough, that's what Dane said in this interview this morning. He said, humans aren't acting in a way that makes me think that they are going to be here on the planet.
That you they know, want to start. Yes.
You know, what are we doing? So,
well, in my case, I'm doing what little I can to bring a little bit of light, love, laughter, and enhancement of happiness on
absolutely.
The planet.
So how do people contact you, Deborah?
I do have an insight called indelight.com.au. I'm going to be up at the Conscious Life Expo in a week or so, and at the Boho Lux, and otherwise I'm in Chermside, so I'm sure if you Google indelight.com, you will be able to put your details into a form there.
And do you have a Facebook or Instagram page?
I do have Instagram, Deb at In Delight. And you can see some of the lovely pictures. I've been taking some fantastic photos and footage of the bottles, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, they're so beautiful. Yeah, I can just, that energy is just lovely.
I know, they're like, and everyone is slightly different. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so Chermside West for individual consults. I've got a level one course coming up in August for probably more so for teachers or people that are working with lots of groups of people. Having said that, individuals can go through that just for the journey of learning more about themselves as well. So it's
why do you say it's for teachers? What does that mean?
Well, I think that everybody could be an expert in an area, but we could all improve the way we communicate with people. So for teachers, mothers, carers, for anyone who is working with people, learning how to refine your language to be able to articulate what you mean to say and have people on the same playing field based on the words they're using and the words you're using, we can enhance understanding, communication, and enhance relationships. So I think if people move into understanding that training, like the app that I'm putting out is only going to be giving one part of your field information. It's how to learn how to think about colour and language. And the level one course goes through very much all of our concepts. And
how many days is it and how much is it?
There's a level one, two and three course. They're all 4 days and they're all $8.95.
Yep.
And that then by the time one has finished a level one, two and three, you are able to be registered by As I Act, the Aurasoma Arts and Science International Academy of Colour Technology in England. And you're able to then, you know, work with bottles and work with the public. But for people that are working with anybody, a level one will show you what tools you can use in any discipline. So I have people that are astrologers, numerologists, you know, body workers, gardeners, you know, there's a broad range of people that want to heal something in themselves or want to support their family's healing. So I'm calling those people teachers, carers, mentors. Anytime you can enhance your own understanding of who you are, you can meet someone more clearly where they are, even if you don't get their explicit experience. You certainly know if they're telling you it's a yellow thing, you can relate to them in the same field. So I think that's wonderful. So I think what else is coming up? Or, you know, I should have it on the website, but like I'm in between two minds about keeping things as technology, yes, and also moving away from it. But I do think like the app is something people can get that has the little Pomander kit that comes with it that gives you 12 or 13 colours of 10 minutes of information, 15 minutes of meditation, a little self-reflective worksheet, and every single colour of the Pomanders that exists. So that as people are learning about it, they're also able to visualize the color and use the scent and use that interaction in their energy field, and then that is at least somewhere to start. And especially if you've got that at home with kids that can pick up anything, if you've got an idea of what that language means, you'll notice why you're clashing with some kids, why you get on better with others, why there's a certain word that always triggers something, but if you change that word, you're not in the war anymore. Like, it's just peace of mind. Yeah. In knowing you can interact in a clearer, enhanced way, like I said. And the kids know, you know, if they pick up red, then they know they either have to sleep because they're exhausted or run around the block and or go and punch a punching bag. Like, schools don't run on what, well, Steiner schools do, and the Aurasoma system is based a lot on Steiner's philosophy, but kids that are anxious and needing to move, like, sometimes the movement's the only thing that can allow them to not be screaming in rage, mm-hmm. You know. So when we're told you cannot move, that's like it's like a prison sentence, isn't it? So if you've got that energy and you know when you've got that energy, you've got a red corner. I mean, wouldn't it be cool in every school if they had an activity corners, like just four corners, a yellow, a red, a blue and a green one? Almost you could fit that to personality types as well. But if kids need to, if they're in a red mood, they can actually go and jump up and down on a trampoline for 5 minutes. And if they're needing the blue, they can actually go and learn how to breathe and count their breaths and think of the tip of their nose and let that come in and let that go out, and learn to use a voice. They might in that situation. They might be looking at digestion in the yellow. So laughter yoga, laughter therapy, or jiggling, for goodness sake, helps to shift things out. So, and the green is that, just that space of nature where we can find ourselves grounding and peaceful and in a space of being able to hear or be heard, you know. And but everything's got a both sides of the fence. So you might be super active with red, or you might be super exhausted and on the brink of adrenal fatigue from giving too much blood, you know. So it's like you get to learn what that balance is and where you're sitting on it, and then you get to see where someone else might be sitting on it. So then we're not assuming we know where someone's at, which is wonderful, you know, especially for relationships.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because
rather than jumping to conclusions and going, well, when I'm red, I'm like this. Well, when someone else is red, they're like something else, you know. So even having that conversation is bloody helpful.
Yes. What a concept. Communication.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it begins with your own. So the program's called Know Thyself in Color Concepts. And I'll, when I have the app up, I'll flick you the link so that you can see it. Should be in the Apple store, but this is all assuming the turquoise of technology swims along with Mercury going that way rather than a salmon going the opposite way.
Exactly. Cool. Any final words of wisdom?
Live long and prosper, and may the force be with you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Deborah. It's been wonderful having you to chat to today. That's really lovely, and it's got me very, very curious.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And I thank you for inviting me in. I love any opportunity to share about colour and light. And when you're in Churnside or you want to come and have a look at the bottles, drop on in. Let me know.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks, Deborah. Have a fab day. Thanks. Bye, everyone.